you're still in the weeds. Ain't it crazy? All the time that you spend driving through the rainbow for the pot at the end. I got some rust on my Chevy, but it's ready to roll. I got a rhinestone sky and a song in my soul. It ain't a smooth ride life, it's a winding road. Yeah, it might be gravel, but it feels like gold. I've been climbing, trying to get to the view. I'm at the bottom, but the sky's still pretty damn blue. They say heaven is somewhere on the other side, but I ain't waiting. Hell, I'm thinking it's a state of mind. Silver linings in the clouds. And if it starts to rain, I don't worry about a thing. I pull my rose-colored Ray-Bans out.
Listening to America's positively encouraging music program, Power Country with Rich Miller. This program is produced in Nashville, Tennessee at Tim Scott Productions and syndicated by G Networks. Sure hope you'll join us next week. And remember, live, love, encourage somebody, and always be thankful.
98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation.
98Q Country.
This is Radio Health Journal, a weekly news magazine with the latest in health, medicine, and technology. I'm Shel Lustig.
I'm Nancy Benson.
And I'm Elizabeth Westfield. This week, the psychology of toxic relationships.
I can't be penniless, worried about my life, worrying about my dog getting killed. I can't worry about my job. I have to just put my head down and make this relationship work.
Then, are energy drinks safe for kids to consume?
The problem with caffeine, which is the most common stimulant, is that it has a drug-like effect on the body to give energy.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Join Macy's and our nonprofit partners to help address the youth mental health crisis this school year. Now through September 14th, you can fund mental health services and resources when you donate online to the Jed Foundation and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today and learn more about our mission to create brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Research shows that nearly half of men and women in America have experienced psychological aggression from a partner. This includes verbal threats and controlling behavior, which is often labeled as a toxic relationship. One of the most common questions regarding toxic or abusive relationships is, why don't they just leave? Well, Jamie Mailer, a licensed psychotherapist, says most people who ask aren't looking at the full picture.
I tell people, be very careful about the people in your life that take you out of context. And what I mean by that is they're taking you and putting you in this like fluffy world where you can just make a decision and there's no implications of those decisions. And I usually go pretty hard when I describe this to people because I don't like to mince my words. Mainly the difficulty is safety.
Mailer specializes in relationship issues and trauma and says the idea of leaving can be terrifying. Even if the person realizes the abuse and wants to leave, it's not always as simple as just walking out the door.
If I don't mince my words, I can say, well, would you leave someone? If you were in my house and I said, hey, if you leave, I'm going to kill your dog. Is that a choice? No. You're going to be like, okay, then I guess I'll stay. How long do you want me to stay for? I guess I'll stay for a few hours. Is that good with you? Really don't want my dog dead today. I use that language because that's typically how bad it gets.
And while not everyone will threaten to harm a pet, this type of emotional coercion is a common tool to get a partner to stay in the relationship. The more subtle intimidations like trying to get you fired or slandering your character online can be just as scary as physical threats.
Remember that they have loved ones, they have jobs, they have financial situations, that sometimes them walking away puts all of that at threat. They all get threatened at the same time. And for many people, they're like, I can't handle that. I can't be penniless, worried about my life, worrying about my dog getting killed. I can't worry about my job. I have to just put my head down and make this relationship work.
Mailer recently wrote Toxic Relationship Recovery, a guide to identifying, leaving, and healing from these emotionally abusive relationships. And this resource isn't just for victims, because many people fall into both roles at different stages of their lives.
We're all going through this. I've been the toxic one. I've been the harmful one. I've literally lived a lot of the behaviors I wrote in the book. And I say, first of all, start with compassion. Realize that a lot of those behaviors were trauma-informed. They were protective. They were sometimes visceral defaults that we felt were the right decision in the moment. And ultimately, it hurt people.
Additionally, many people don't realize the situation is unhealthy until they have the time and space to reflect back on that period of their life. Toxicity isn't always a conscious choice. In fact, Mailer says it's often the product of one or both partners being emotionally unskilled, meaning they only have the most basic coping strategies to use when faced with adversity. This behavior often escalates a simple difference of opinions into a full-on attack. And if you're on the receiving end, you'll notice that as the person gets defensive, they'll deflect any responsibility and put all the blame onto you.
It's almost what I call almost like reptilian defense mechanisms. Like they're so survival based where like you're just panicking and you're going at your bare bones and you're like, I don't have any skills, but whatever bare bones skills I have, I'm going to use.
This type of behavior can be easily overlooked. In fact, you might start adjusting your preferences to avoid future backlash. And though you may think that it's a compromise, it's really just ignoring the warning signs. Mailer says if we're aware of the yellow flags early in our relationships, we can get out before it gets worse.
So a few of them would be being really, really threatened by other people. And I don't just mean other, you know, if this is your boyfriend and they're threatened by other men. I'm talking about if you have a really close relationship with a friend that's a woman, like I'm a woman, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to my best friend. We're really, really close. My new partner sees that and goes, why do you need to talk to her every day? I'm like, because she's my best friend. Like, I love her. Like, are you upset about that? Well, that hour that you're talking to your best friend, you could have been talking to me. Why are you choosing her over me?
This behavior is often ignored and instead thought of as sweet. Your partner is jealous because they want to spend more time with you. What's wrong with that?
Many people I work with where they're like, no, but like, doesn't that mean that they like love me more, right? Like my past partner didn't really seem to have an opinion on if I hung out with like my friends or like if I hung out with maybe a person that I'm attracted, like a gender that I'm attracted to, like another guy, like do I have a guy friend, right? And so people who have that almost like yearning to be possess. Like, they're like, I want you to want me so badly, right? Well, when you enter into a harmful dynamic and that person goes, I do want you badly, and the reason I want you so badly is because I want to control every aspect of your life, that's an easy oversight, right?
Part of why this red flag is so easily ignored is because wanting to be wanted by someone is completely normal. Most of us want to be given someone's undivided attention and we want to be noticed. However, it becomes problematic when it escalates into an obsessive and controlling relationship. Mailer says it usually takes people 3 to 6 months after the relationship ends to truly realize how toxic the situation was.
Many people will go, how did I not see it was so bad? How did I not see it? You might be talking to your bestie. They might be telling you about another story. And you're like, I mean, honey, I did see it. And I did say things. And I loved you. That's why I said some of those things. And some of those times that I said stuff, you got angry. You got really angry at me that I told you I'm seeing problematic things, right? So first of all, the first thing I would say is be compassionate to yourself, because we aren't all going to see it. And sometimes it is going to take you 3 to 6 months, maybe longer, to actually see the pattern.
She compares it to having an object right in front of your eyes. Even though it's right there, it's too close to tell what you're looking at. You need that space to take a few steps back and see the full picture, which is why Mailer advocates so much for people who are healing from toxic relationships to give themselves grace.
I tell people a lot of this is your own recognition of harmful behaviors, normalizing versus something that is not normal. It is not okay to be treated poorly every day. It's not okay for your partner to tolerate you. Nobody deserves to be tolerated.
This recognition of self-worth is one of the first steps towards healing.
That moment when you go, I deserve to be respected. Typically, that's a shift for many people where they go, every day I'm beaten down. Every day emotionally, I'm treated like trash. And I don't deserve to be treated like trash. And maybe when you were younger and you were treated poorly, you were going, yeah, par for the course, guys. That's how I get treated. I don't know what you guys think. Like, my partner treats me like that. My parents treat me like that. Any boss I've ever had treats me like trash. So why would I expect anything different? And typically the biggest pivot that happens with the people that are doing this recovery work is when they go and they wake up and they go, you know what? That's not acceptable anymore.
A big part of realizing and maintaining your self-worth is healing your inner voice. Mailer says the trauma that can come from toxic relationships can completely tear you down and make that little voice in your head start saying nasty things.
Let's say you've been in a relationship for 10 years, and that entire time your partner was chipping away. Year by year, your partner was like, why are you wearing that to the gym? Why are you cutting your hair that short? And literally inch by inch, the partner was doing those little jabs, trying to get you to force yourself into a existence that wasn't aligning with how you naturally show up.
So over time, you make adjustments to your style, personality, and even outside relationships to conform to what your partner prefers. And the longer this relationship lasts, the more you lose your authentic self.
So when people get out, they look at me and they go, I don't know where to start, because every time I feel like I want to cut my hair short, there's a voice inside of me that says, you're going to be the ugliest person in the room. That's the trauma behind the inner voice. I go, that's not your voice. You're not ugly. And it doesn't matter if you have no hair or all the hair. You are allowed to express yourself.
But after spending so much time letting others dictate how you view yourself, Mailer says many people's inner voice gets lost under everyone else's opinions.
We don't know where to start, and rightfully so. Let's be compassionate to that person. Yeah, rightfully so. You were trying to survive. You didn't want to be bullied every moment of your life. So you said, you know what? I won't cut my hair past the chin because I don't want to be bullied. None of us want to be bullied, right? So many people go, I'll just take one for the team and just not cut my hair that short, I guess. It's not that big of a deal. Okay, but now every little thing starts getting beaten out of you. And that's how you don't recognize your own voice.
And even after getting out of a toxic romantic relationship, it's easy to let friends or family members take over that role. Mailer says that ending this cycle doesn't mean isolating yourself, but it is necessary to take time alone. Sit with your thoughts and tease apart the things you truly like versus what your partner wanted you to like. How do you want to dress? Who do you want to hang out with? What TV shows do you like?
Let's start there and start cultivating and nourishing that voice, because when we nourish the external, we become the external. We don't want to do that. We want to be our own self. And when you can be radically honest with yourself, the healing can really start permeating your psyche. It can really go deep because you're saying, the only way I'm ever going to break the cycle is to say, first of all, this is not normal. And second of all, I deserve to have relationships that are healthy, including I deserve to be in a healthy relationship with myself.
Mailer's book, Toxic Relationship Recovery, is available for pre-order wherever books are sold. You can find more information about Jamie Mailer and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, the dangers of caffeine in children.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
For many Americans, caffeine is a regular part of daily life. A cup of coffee in the morning to get you through the day, or an energy drink in the afternoon to help you stay alert. And it's not just adults who are regularly drinking caffeine. A 2014 study in pediatrics reports that 73% of children under age 18 have caffeine on a daily basis. At the time, much of this intake came from soda that usually has anywhere from 30 to 40 milligrams. However, the CDC reports that up to 50% of kids today consume energy drinks that can have up to 200 milligrams of caffeine in just one standard can.
Kids are smaller, and therefore they're capable of drinking a 2-ounce shot or an 8-ounce drink or even a 12-ounce drink, then that would be fine if that was a regular drink. But the amount of caffeine that's concentrated in other stimulant substances is going to have a stronger effect and potentially more adverse or negative, dangerous side effects on a smaller body. So kids are considered high risk to the dangerous or negative side effects of energy drinks.
That's Dr. Holly Benjamin, a professor and pediatric sports medicine specialist at the University of Chicago. Her 2011 study, published in the American Academy of Pediatrics, researched all of the caffeinated beverages on the market. She found that energy drinks like Red Bull pose the greatest health risks due to their high caffeine content.
Energy drinks can cause some harm to the body, and it's primarily through the substances that are causing that stimulant energy drink effect. And we see heart problems such as irregular heartbeats or rapid heartbeats. We'll see even high blood pressure problems as well. We get into neurologic problems, like seizures are the most serious, and many people end up in the emergency room actually for an energy drink overdose, so we call it. And that can give you jitters, insomnia, restlessness, and as I said, even seizures.
And those aren't the only problems caffeine can cause. In addition to physical symptoms, it can also worsen existing psychological problems.
we see sometimes some pretty severe anxiety, trouble sleeping, insomnia, jitters.
These side effects of having too much caffeine can range from mild, like an upset stomach, to much more serious issues like heart problems. Benjamin has seen many of these cases firsthand in the emergency room.
When kids come into the emergency room, it's enough of a problem that we actually have to worry about taking an energy drink in or taking a stimulant substance when kids come in with a seizure, for example, or severe chest pain. We have actually had to rule out heart attack workups on kids because they've taken some high dose stimulant substances. And that's kind of scary.
But what makes energy drinks so much more dangerous than coffee? These highly caffeinated beverages are disguised behind super sweet flavors and colorful packaging, much different than the coffee tins marketed towards adults.
It seems that marketing is almost deliberately targeting kids. When you brightly package a drink, sometimes it's even some of these energy drinks have juice box straws with them, and then you give them names like Ice Pop or Tropical Punch, strawberry, watermelon, or lemonade. That certainly doesn't sound dangerous, and it almost sounds like it should be a kid's drink. And, you know, kids are a vulnerable population, and American Academy of Pediatrics has lobbied and felt very strongly that there needs to be more regulation when marketing is targeting kids, when these drinks are freely available on the shelves, side by side with other drinks that kids could have or should have. You know, it's in grocery stores and convenience stores. It's just not fair.
To see the latest culprit of this, look no further than Prime Energy. The brand was created in 2022 by two social media influencers, Logan Paul and KSI. Both men have a large following of fans, many of whom fall into the 14 to 20 age range. Earlier this summer, Prime Energy made headlines when Senator Chuck Schumer called on the FDA to investigate the brand. Schumer cited concerns over the high caffeine content, combined with the marketing strategies he believes are aimed at kids.
The biggest problem with Prime Energy, which is one of the latest energy drinks to hit the market that seems to be targeting kids, is it is the highest concentration of caffeine per serving of any of the common energy drinks that we've dealt with in the last, you know, 10 or 20 years. A Prime Energy drink weighs in at about 200 milligrams of caffeine per serving, which would be about 2 cups of coffee, whereas your Red Bull is about 80 milligrams per 8-ounce serving, and a Monster comes in at about 160 milligrams of caffeine per serving.
On top of this, Prime Energy bears a similar resemblance to its non-caffeinated counterpart, Prime Hydration, which is much like Gatorade or other sports beverages. Prime Energy comes in a slim aluminum can, while Prime Hydration is packaged in a slightly larger plastic bottle. However, these two drinks share extremely similar branding, flavors, and sit next to each other on shelves, which can confuse kids and parents alike.
Prime seems to be a pretty successful marketing hydration product. They're starting to be official sports drinks for some, you know, big teams and even professional teams out there. The biggest problem is that they continue to not distinguish between like Prime Hydration, which it's reasonable for an athlete, especially a pro athlete, to use versus Prime Energy drinks. You know, you're going to have kids out there thinking, oh, I should be drinking a Prime because, you know, some sports star that I look up to is drinking Prime drinks. And if we're not able to tell the good Prime Hydration from the bad Prime Energy drinks, then it's not fair and we're causing more harm.
Benjamin says this falls into a larger problem of caffeinated beverage companies capitalizing on the sports beverage market. Caffeinated drinks like these are now advertising themselves as beneficial for sports performance and athletic ability. While these drinks certainly give you energy, Benjamin says not all energy is created equal.
There's always been historically a lot of confusion about what good energy and bad energy is. For example, kids who drink a Gatorade doing some sports activities are looking for energy through good calories, through carbohydrate, through electrolytes, through water that's in the drinks, and that's a good thing. Energy drinks, I think, that are true energy drinks, meaning they have a stimulant substance in it, such as caffeine, which is really a drug, have kind of capitalized on the idea that energy is good. And they've, I think through marketing, have almost potentially deliberately created confusion.
So what is a safe amount of caffeine for kids to have?
The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends, in general, avoiding caffeine under the age of 12. But over the age of 12, they say 100 milligrams would be reasonable. It's definitely preferred to be in a natural form, such as actually a coffee, a tea, or chocolate. And then when you get to be as adult aged, around age 18 or so, 200 milligrams a day is very reasonable and is fairly unlikely to cause significant side effects other than the risk of daily intake causing addiction.
So next time you're at the grocery store, take a look at the ingredient list and remember the recommended amount of 100 milligrams of caffeine for children over 12. You can find more information about Dr. Holly Benjamin and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. This segment was written by our associate producer, Tabor Brewster. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson. Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Research shows people ignore radio ads. While I want you to remember that Liberty Mutual customizes and saves you hundreds on home insurance, I know no one's listening, so I can say anything. I can even tell Jenny that I never stop thinking about us. Sometimes I almost call, but I only truly feel safe revealing this in the privacy of my nationally broadcast radio ad.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com. Savings may vary, underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. Affiliates excludes Massachusetts.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Roll Charmin ultra strong when you drop in the beat. It cleans way less effort on your seat. Yeah. Roll it. Drop it. Yeah. Roll it. Drop it.
Okay.
Charmin flows extra strong from the road. Get your butt hella clean while you're sitting on the bowl. Yeah. It's all you need for that bathroom. Get you in and out without nothing to prove.
Charmin Ultra Strong cleans better so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Join Macy's and our nonprofit partners to help address the youth mental health crisis this school year. Now through September 14th, you can fund mental health services and resources when you donate online to the Jed Foundation and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today and learn more about our mission to create brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
Nachos! Yeah, you nachos!
Hey, I'll take some.
Great. And some Frank's Red Hot.
Oh, nah. I'm good.
Oh, you're just gonna eat these dry, plain, boring nachos with no Frank's. Seriously? Frank it up. Frank it up. Come on, lady. Frank it up. Frank it up. Frank it up. Yeah! Yeah, this guy finally gets it. Hey, look, we're on the Jumbotron.
It's the perfect blend of flavor and heat. Frank's Red Hot. I put that on everything.
Medical notes this week. Can breast milk prevent cerebral palsy? About 10% of premature babies develop this motor disability that weakens muscles and inhibits movements. It's caused by damaged white matter in the brain and usually occurs early in childhood development. But new research in cell stem cell shows that a lipid found in breast milk can promote white matter growth and reduce the chances of developing cerebral palsy. Doctors may soon be able to use this lipid to treat the condition in its early stages. Finding long-term relief for your itchy rashes. A recent study in the Journal of Medicinal Chemistry finds that a newly created molecule can ease the effects of varicella zoster virus, which causes both chickenpox and shingles. Researchers predict that this will soon be used in over-the-counter medications that can be applied orally and topically. And finally, do you really need 8 glasses of water a day? Dietitian Holly Gilligan says it depends. The amount of water you need every day is determined by many different factors. These include the temperature, amount of physical activity you engage in, and your overall health. A general rule of thumb is the more you sweat, the more water you should drink, and especially on a hot summer day. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Shel Lustig.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Nothing is everything.
With SkyRizzy, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And SkyRizzy is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizzy. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to SkyRizzy, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about SkyRizzy, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more, and check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at RadioHealthJournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 90. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows level off around 64. Mainly sunny tomorrow, highs level off around 90. Upper 80s Tuesday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning much cooler Wednesday with highs in the mid-70s, storms continue. Take a look at the extended forecast, 63 Thursday, 71 Friday, and 70 on Saturday. Another look at the short range, high of 90 today, lows level off around 64 tonight. We should top out at 90 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 71.
This week on Viewpoints.
It is so easy. With a couple buttons, you can get a new credit card. With a couple click of a buttons on your phone, you can order anything you want and have it one day shipped to your house.
It's no surprise that credit card debt and delinquencies are on the rise. Then,
as the streamers have been making more and more money, musicians have been making less and less.
Actors aren't the only ones fed up with streaming services. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Join Macy's and our nonprofit partners to help address the youth mental health crisis this school year. Now through September 14th, you can fund mental health services and resources when you donate online to the Jed Foundation and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today and learn more about our mission to create brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at RadioHealthJournal.org.
When's the last time you checked your credit card statements? Maybe you're a little worried to see what your account balance looks like? You're not alone.
A recent report from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York showed that credit card debt in the U.S. is on the rise, recently surpassing $1 trillion. More worryingly, a greater number of people are failing to meet monthly payments. At the start of 2023, around 7% of credit card accounts were at least 30 days past due. This is the highest level of delinquency since 2012. One person who's all too familiar with this scenario is Chloe Elise. After years of untracked spending, she found herself $36,000 in the hole.
Money was just leaking out the door. I paid fees on my account. I had overdraft fees. I was getting double charged for things because I just never looked at my account.
Today, she's out of this money pit and has turned her experience into a career. She's a certified financial coach and author of the book Deeper Than Money. Elise says the first step is to let go of the guilt and refocus.
If you are feeling stressed and anxious and frantic about your debt, and you're listening to this podcast and or this radio station, and you're hearing get ahead with money and do this, and here's how to do this, and step one and step two and step three, a lot of times it feels even more burdensome. There's this next thing, and I need to do this and this and this, and it feels just so difficult. And so the first thing is to take a deep breath, get in a neutral state, and believe that the debt that you have is not going to determine where you're going to go or what's possible for you with finances. Once you're in a neutral state, then we can start to add some steps to get ahead with money.
Before you stop spending cold turkey, one of the most important questions to getting back on track is to ask, why was I buying? Was it to make ends meet during a difficult time? Or were the purchases impulsive or emotion-based?
Is it because you're spending out of alignment after having a bad day? Is it because you don't understand the logistics of these financial literacy pieces of saving or planning out your finances? Is it because you want that hit of dopamine that feels so good when you click add to cart? Like, what are kind of some of these underlying principles that are adding to this credit card debt? And then starting there and saying, okay, let's start from the basics of what's your income like? What's your paycheck like? What are the ways you want to be spending your money? And then how can we allocate money, which might sound counterintuitive, but how can we allocate money to some of these things that you like to spend on? And so you can do that and still feel good about it, but it's planned spending.
Elise says this budget breakdown will look a little bit different for everyone. Start by writing down the automatic expenses or needs you have each month. These are items like rent, mortgage, groceries, car payments, utilities, and more. Next, allocate how much money you can put towards paying off debt. Focus on the accounts that have the highest interest levels and pay those off first. Ideally, this number should be around 20 to 30% of your after-tax monthly income. From there, decide on a set monthly total for wants, like dining out, entertainment, or online shopping. This buffer will help to make the budget feel more sustainable in the long term.
Instead of telling yourself, I can't spend, I can't spend, I can't go on social media and go on Amazon and click add to cart, I can't do it. Instead of that being the narrative of what's going on in your head, instead, in this alignment-based principle, looking at the outcome and saying, I can buy those things. I can purchase all the things in my cart if I want to, but is the outcome of purchasing those things what I want?
Elise plays out this scenario by providing more specific breakdowns.
Let's say you have $100 worth of things in your Amazon cart, and you know, okay, I have $50 set aside for my spending. So $50 of that $100 I've planned to spend. Okay, amazing. So the outcome of purchasing $50 of that Amazon cart is that, okay, I set aside money to spend. I'm spending it. Bada bang, bada boom. Amazing. But the other $50, I didn't plan on spending that. So the outcome of purchasing the $100 worth of things in my Amazon cart in this example is that $50 was planned, but the other $50 I have to take out of money I was going to put toward debt. So then you can sit there and say, okay, I am a grown adult, and if I choose to take out money I was going to put toward debt and instead buy my Amazon cart, I'm allowed to do that. I worked for my paycheck. I get my paycheck. I get to choose how I spend it. But I might also look and say, you know what? I'm going to buy the $50 worth because I plan to spend that. But my top priority is paying off that debt. And so I don't want to, I don't choose to spend that other $50 because I want that to go toward debt because that's my highest priority.
These inner dialogues, while it may seem silly, are critical to sticking to a budget. This process helps slow things down and focus more on the outcome of your action rather than the initial rush of saying yes and overspending. Jumping back to Elise's own financial journey, it took her 18 months of strict budgeting to get out of debt. She highlights how everyone's financial journey looks a little bit different. Some people listening may take much longer to pay off debt or will run into several challenges or regressions along the way. That's okay. The most important piece is to keep going. And once you've chipped away at credit card or other forms of debt, consider opening a high-yield savings account.
Especially if you're listening to this in real time, high-yield savings accounts, the interest rates are nearly 5% on average right now, which is wild. And so your money sitting at your normal savings account at your bank is, you know, no matter how much is in there, is making you maybe a nickel every year. But your money in high-yield savings account can be working for you and making money. And so anyone listening, if you don't have a high-yield savings account, go open one. If you have one, make sure your friends have one. Make sure your mailman has one. Make sure your grandma has one.
To learn more about budgeting, saving, and our guest, Chloe Elise, head to viewpointsradio.org. You can also check out her book, Deeper Than Money, now available in select bookstores and online. For more behind-the-scenes content and news on upcoming stories, follow Viewpoints Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, many mid-level musicians are barely scraping by. Why is this when Viewpoints returns?
Research shows people ignore radio ads. While I want you to remember that Liberty Mutual customizes and saves you hundreds on home insurance, I know no one's listening, so I can say anything. I can even tell Jenny that I never stop thinking about us. Sometimes I almost call, but I only truly feel safe revealing this in the privacy of my nationally broadcast radio ad.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com. Savings may vary and written by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates excludes Massachusetts.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
KFC's new chicken nuggets. Hand-breaded, original recipe, 100% white meat chicken nuggets. The perfect back-to-school dinner option for...
Are those chicken nuggets?
Yeah, I was thinking we could...
Chicken nuggets!
Chicken nuggets!
Chicken nuggets!
What is happening?
It's dinner time. Order KFC Original Recipe Chicken Nuggets, 10 pieces for just $5. You've never had nuggets like these. That's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary, taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to SkyRizzy, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Nothing is everything.
With SkyRizzy, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And SkyRizzy is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizzy. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to SkyRizzy, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SkyRizzy, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
The screenwriters' strike in Hollywood is now entering its 4th month. Go back to May of this year and around 11,000 screenwriters walked off their jobs demanding better pay and benefits. Then, in July, the American Actors Union, which includes 160,000 actors, joined the picket lines. While breaking into the industry has always been an uphill climb, the rise of streaming services, AI, and declining pay has made this journey feel impossible for many aspiring creatives.
And it's not just writers and actors who are feeling the pinch. It's musicians as well. But why isn't this group declaring a strike?
There's a bunch of different organizations that are kind of all working together, but they're not technically, they don't have the same power that unions have, where you can essentially go on strike and then sort of sit down and negotiate collectively all together for a higher rate.
That's David Lowry, a senior lecturer in the Music Business Certificate Program at the University of Georgia. Lowry says that musicians' unions do exist. There's the American Federation of Musicians and the Songwriters Guild of America. However, neither group is officially recognized by the National Labor Relations Board. Without an approved union to collectively bargain on their behalf, musicians are treated by record labels, concert venues, and streaming services as independent contractors rather than collective employees.
We can collectively bargain with a threat of a strike in certain narrow areas where we're seen as providing labor for employers, right? But a lot of times our pay comes from us essentially creating a product, whether it's like recording a record and selling that onto a record label, or as a songwriter, you're creating a song and that's a copyright, that's a product that gets licensed out to other people. And when you're not laboring directly for an employer, the rules are very different about whether you can strike.
If musicians were to go on strike, it's likely they would delete their music from mainstream platforms like Spotify and Apple Music. However, if they did this, they would be in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act. This legislation, which passed in the 19th century, was created to protect free trade. However, it's historically been used against labor unions.
The thing that you want a union to do is to sort of sit down and go to, say, all the streaming services and say, hey, we're going to withdraw our work unless we get X amount of money per hour, right? One of the first problems with that is that legally we're not allowed to withdraw our work from streaming services because U.S. copyright law essentially has something called the compulsory license for streaming services, which means they get to use our song. If we got paid well, that would be okay. But the federal government also has a board that sets those rates. And the board's been better lately, getting us more money. But we're starting way behind the eight ball. We're starting from like a really low rate.
Since musicians can't pull their music from streamers, another solution is to set an agreed upon price per song or album played on these platforms. However, that idea also violates antitrust laws.
Even without that compulsory license, if we got together and tried to create a union and try to set a price for our songs, it would be sort of seen as colluding or price fixing, the way courts have interpreted this issue in the United States, right? So it would be like as if all the coffee shops in your town, all the coffee shop owners got together and said, hey, we're not going to sell lattes for less than $9. Let's all get together and do that, right? That would be seen as anti-competitive, price fixing.
Like actors and screenwriters, musicians are also dealing with big challenges when it comes to compensation. In the same way actors aren't getting ample residual pay from streaming platforms like Netflix and Hulu, musicians aren't getting enough royalties from streamers like Spotify and Apple Music. Compared to the days of CDs and cassette tapes, musicians are making pennies on the dollar.
In 2022, Spotify's worldwide annual revenue increased by over 20% from 2021 to $12.3 billion. During that same time, the number of artists who were making over $50,000 on Spotify decreased by 58%. So as the streamers have been making more and more money, musicians have been making less and less.
That's Renee Klajic, a volunteer with the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers. She says that before the advent of streaming, music could provide a steady income even for those who weren't super famous. But now you either have to be wildly successful or be independently wealthy to make a career in music.
I'm a working musician, and my dad was a working musician in the 70s and early 80s. My dad literally was able to buy a house with income as a working musician. And like today, the say that music has been devalued in the streaming economy is like the understatement of the century. Like, we went from an album being worth $10 per sale, you know, like having actual worth, like album sales really meaning something, to like fractions of pennies.
I'm sure you're wondering how the streaming revenue situation got so bad. Lowry says when these services started out, people thought it would be much more profitable for the sector. This misconception led to record labels making decisions for themselves and their artists that they now regret.
I don't think a lot of people saw the streaming services giving away the music for free under an ad-supported tier, right? I think everybody imagined it would be like $30 a month, something like that, you know? So I think people thought the revenue would be a lot higher. There was a kind of a mistake made at the very beginning where the labels essentially agreed to take a percentage of the streaming services revenues, not realizing that those streaming service revenues would actually be quite low. And so this money that was coming in, you know, say 50% was going to the labels, then, you know, 15% of that is going to the artists, right? So a lot of it was just nobody knew what the world looked like or what the world would look like after streaming.
While the road might be more difficult than it is for actors and screenwriters, both Lowry and Klajic remind us not to lose hope. One potential solution is to lobby federal lawmakers.
We are working with members of Congress to push for new legislation that would introduce a new streaming royalty rate, similar to a program that already exists for satellite radio. And we do think that there needs to be congressional action taken to address the fact that streaming platforms are relatively unregulated, and that's how they've gotten away with giving musicians this bad deal.
And those of you listening can take action too. But be warned, it includes ditching Apple Music and Spotify.
If you're a music fan, or if people listening are a music fan, then be aware that you paying for your Spotify subscription or whatever is not a meaningful way to support the artists that you love. And if you want to support them, the ways to support them that are truly meaningful are coming out to their show, buying their album on Bandcamp, buying their merch, sharing their music, and helping other people to know to like support them financially, because it's tough out there.
If these steps were taken, pursuing music as a career could be a more realistic option for thousands more. This would also lead to a more diverse pool of voices and talent.
Those who are in a position to pay musicians fairly, such as venues, such as record labels not doing predatory deals with musicians, and then music fans, making sure that you are really valuing that work, because like music is not going anywhere. We love music, but what music industry we end up with and what musicians are able to kind of rise to prominence, that is based on like a lot of factors largely shaped by privilege, that like if we collectively value music appropriately, we can end up with a fairer, better, more diverse, more vibrant music industry.
To find out more about David Lowry, Renee Klajic, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galanti. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Join Macy's and our nonprofit partners to help address the youth mental health crisis this school year. Now through September 14th, you can fund mental health services and resources when you donate online to the Jed Foundation and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today and learn more about our mission to create brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm onto something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Americans are more hopped up on caffeine than ever. Whether it's coffee or energy drinks, there are endless brands and brews to choose from. Energy drinks in particular have grown in popularity over the last 10 years among adolescents, young adults, and middle-aged adults. Many of these beverages come in a variety of fruity flavors and often build themselves as clean energy. But just how much caffeine lies inside? Bang Energy, which was acquired by Monster Beverage in July, packs 300 milligrams of caffeine into 16 fluid ounces. That one serving equals about 3 cups of caffeine. Another popular brand, Celsius, offers a special variety called Celsius Heat, which has 300 milligrams of caffeine, but in a smaller 10-ounce serving. The drink is marketed as a great pre-workout option for gym goers. The takeaway? Many of these newer energy products are normalizing a higher caffeine intake to keep consumers hooked. For instance, Red Bull, which has been sold in the U.S. since 1996, only has 111 milligrams of caffeine per 12 ounces. That's much lower than what's in a regular can of Celsius or Prime. For the average adult, the Food and Drug Administration recommends a max amount of 400 milligrams of caffeine per day. Consuming more than this can cause harsh side effects like anxiety, jitters, headaches, and heart palpitations. Currently, there's no formal cap on how much caffeine manufacturers can add into one drink. So, the next time you need a little pick-me-up, make sure to check the label. The caffeine content is usually listed on the side right next to the nutrition info. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Post Malone is something of a unicorn in the music industry, as he's someone who switches around his genres and bends conventions. He broke through back in 2015, and he's continued to put out hits ever since, reaching number one in 2017 with his song Rockstar featuring 21 Savage, and then dominating the charts with Psycho featuring Ty Dolla $ign, the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack song Sunflower with Swae Lee, and Circles all by himself. His fifth album, Austin, is his most personal yet, which is likely why he used his first name as its title. The album continues Post's musical genre hopping, and it heads toward a more pop rock sound than the trap beat raps he made his name on. While the album is more stripped down and comes with a heavy dose of acoustic guitar, his typical production flourishes still abound all across the album. A choir sings with him in Landmine, and the rich layers on track 2, Something Real, give the album a vast landscape to explore over the rest of its runtime. Lyrically, the album deals with the struggles of fame and addiction. He sings mournfully about his desire to find peace within himself, his burning passion to be a good father and family man, and his romantic struggles over the years. It's the most honest-sounding music I've heard all year, and I haven't been able to stop listening to so many of the standout tracks.